It's time now for the Pulpit Hour, featuring some of God's choice preachers. Stay tuned at the end of today's message for information on how you can obtain a copy of today's sermon.
Chapter number 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the Christ child that was sent, your precious son, leaving the splendor of heaven to be born of a virgin in a lowly manger. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the gift that you've given us of salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Ghost to keep us. Father, he is the one that indwells us, and he is given to us as a seal, as a guarantee of the promise that you've made us. God, I pray this morning that you would help us to preach then in the power of the Holy Ghost. Help each one to hear today. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Certainly at Christmas time, we see lights everywhere, don't we? We see businesses and city buildings being lit up. We see folks with their homes and their yards being lit up. We see trees lit up. We look around the church this morning and in the window sills and on the stage area and around the choir and hanging on the doors, there are wreaths and there are trees and there are lights, many lights. Some folks have colored lights, some folks have just white lights. But all of those lights together pale in comparison to the glory light that fell on the shepherds in verse number 9. Let's look at it again. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now there's a little phrase there that I believe the Lord would have us to be interested in this morning. The glory of the Lord. That's what we want to preach on today. Now, number one, let us see the reality. Now, there was a time when the Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, had ordered a tax on every individual person. That means that every person must go to their city of ancestry or lineage to pay their tax. He's also going to have a census made. What he's doing is he's raising capital for his empire, and he's also, by gathering a number of these people, he's wanting to show the power of his domain. While Joseph and Mary are espoused, they have to travel to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. Now she is with child, great with child. The Holy Ghost has come upon her and overshadowed her, and she's going to have the Son of God. And Joseph has to head towards Bethlehem to pay his taxes, and he has to take with him Mary, his espoused wife. And
When they get to Bethlehem, they don't really have any relatives to stay with, even though that's where their family's from. They travel 70 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And when they get there, there's no room in the inn because all the motels and the hotels are completely booked up with so many people that have come into town. So he does the only thing he can. He stays in a little stable just to get some kind of shelter away from the wind. Certainly, it probably might have still been cold outside. I do not know. But he had to get some shelter from the wind and get inside. And during that night, amen, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was born in that night. And the only thing they had for her, they did not give her a shower. She had no baby shower. There were not a lot of gifts ordered for him. He didn't really have a baby blanket, didn't have a baby bottle, didn't have a pillow, didn't have a bunch of these throwaway diapers, amen. She had swaddling clothes, which is what a Jew would travel with. And in case of their death, they would wrap them up in these strips of clothing that was swaddling clothes or grave clothes. And the only thing she had to put the baby in was in swaddling clothes. And she laid him in a manger, which is a feeding trough for an animal. And there laid the Christ child that night, the Son of God, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor, that he might identify himself with the human family. And then, when I had children, my wife gave birth to our daughter and to our son, I wanted to call somebody. I wanted to tell them that we have had a baby. Amen. And I wanted to announce the birth of my children. Hey, God was so pleased with the birth of his son that he sends an angel to make the announcement. He says, you go tell them about the birth of my son. You go tell them in the city of David, there is born the babe, Christ the Lord, and he'll be a savior to all the people. Who did he appear to? He did not appear to Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor. Who did he appear to? Who did God send him to speak to? He did not go see the religious leaders and the dignitaries and the high-browed social crowd of that day. Oh, no. He went that night to a little field where there were some shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. The shepherds were considered the lowest of the low. They were the bitter dregs of society. Nobody wanted to have much fellowship with these boys at all. They are considered unclean. Why would God send the message of his son being born in a lowly manger to a bunch of poor, miserable shepherds? Because those shepherds represent you and they represent me. We are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he said, you go tell the sinners that there is a Savior born. And the angel came to the shepherds. Hallelujah. When he got there, the Bible says, when the angel came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. I'm interested in that. What is the glory of the Lord? In the scripture, there are three senses that the glory of the Lord is found. Number one, the glory of the Lord is God's moral beauty and the perfection of his character. When you see God, he is glory. Number two, it is his moral beauty and his perfection in the visible presence, such as light. Not just a small light, but a great light. For his glory is great. Then thirdly, the glory of the Lord is used in a sense of where we praise him. There is praise from all his creatures that we give glory to God. It is this second sense in which the angel has come. It is this second sense in which the glory of the Lord has fallen. It is his perfect character and his moral beauty in visible light. You can see his presence. Now, understand this dazzling, brilliant, glowing, radiating light has fell upon these shepherds. A holy God having fellowship with sinful man. Now, I really had a bit of a problem with that to start with, and I'll tell you why. The glory of the Lord has appeared before. I want you to look at it the first time in the book of Exodus, chapter number 3, when the glory of the Lord fell. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock. What was he doing? He was watching the flock. Hey, when the shepherds that night had the glory of the Lord fall on them, what were they doing? They were watching the flock when the glory of God fell. Moses, who had been trained in all the aspects of religious training and of the world in Egypt, is now in the desert, in the wilderness time of his life, and he's watching the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That, I believe, was the glory of God manifest unto Moses. Moses looked, and he saw a bush on fire, but not consumed. It was just radiating. It was the presence of God. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. I believe it was the glory of God that set that bush on fire. I believe that bush represents the Word of God that's been attacked and changed by scholars and mocked for years. But the Word of God is still on the fire of the Lord, but not consumed. I believe it represents Israel being attacked from every angle, yet she still stands. I believe it represents the church, amen, that the devil would like to get rid of. But the glory of God is in the church, amen. Hallelujah. And she's on fire, lit up by the glory of God, but not consumed. And he spoke out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. You see, Moses, even as scholarly and as religious as he was, could not just approach God anyway. Couldn't stand in the presence or in the glory of God. He had to get his shoes off his feet because he was on holy ground. But in the New Testament, the glory of God came around those shepherds, almost like a fish in water in a fishbowl. It just completely surrounded them. I believe those shepherds had more fellowship with the glory of God than Moses did in Exodus chapter 3. That was the glory of God, don't you agree? Number two, it's in Exodus 24. Turn there quickly. Up on Mount Sinai, in verse number 16, God had told Moses to make sure to put a border, a boundary, all the way around the mountain. And anybody that touched the mountain would die. You see, the glory of God is going to fall on that mountain. God's going to give his word. God's going to give the law. And God says, if you touch that mountain in my glory, you'll die. You couldn't have fellowship with his glory. It's holy ground. Exodus 24, 16. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. We know that's when God gave his word. He got to enter into that glory. Well, in chapter number 40 of the book of Exodus, God had commanded Moses to make a tabernacle as they moved from place to place that would have the Ark of the Covenant housed in it. And as they moved from place to place to place, that have a place that they could worship, a place of sacrifice. And in Exodus chapter 40 and verse number 34, when that tabernacle was completed, watch this. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. What about that? And then after the children of Israel, you know, they got into the promised land, and years later, David wanted to build God a house, and God said, I'll let your son build the house of God. And in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, Solomon built the house of God. And he began to make a prayer at dedication in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, in other words, he's built this great temple, he and a bunch of helpers, for the glory of God. When he makes an end of prayer, an end of the dedication prayer, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Look at verse 2. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. The men of God, the religious leaders, could not even go into the house of God because the glory of God was so present in that place, they couldn't even get in there. You see, God was well pleased with this house they had built. The best I can study, the glory of God stayed inside this temple in the Holy of Holies until about the year 587 B.C., when the building was torn down and destroyed by the Babylonians. But on that night, in the darkness, and you can hear the bleating of the sheep, and those old poor, miserable, lowly shepherds just minding their own business, when all of a sudden they looked up and an angel of the Lord showed up, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Why that night? His son was born. Now, I believe it's more than just a nice little work to show that his son was born. I believe he's also saying this is the dawn of a new day. Because this is the dawn that there'll be one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. This is my beloved son. Look again at Luke 2:9. That's the fifth time you see the glory of the Lord. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Well, I tell you, friends, all through Jesus' earthly ministry, he had the glory of the Lord on him. In John chapter 1, verse number 14, John describes Jesus' earthly ministry like this. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Hallelujah. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hey, the glory of God was in his ministry. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 17, verse number 1. During his ministry, he took Peter, James, and John up to a mountain. Verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light. You see that? The glory of God that was in Jesus began to show right through his clothes, began to show right through his old human flesh. The glory of God was inside him. Hey, hallelujah. When you got saved, the Holy Ghost moved inside of you. And the same thing that lit up that bush that burnt with fire and was not consumed is the same glory that's inside of you and is inside of me in this hour. Oh, bless his holy name. Just a poor, wretched, miserable old sinner. But he came down one night and saved my sin-sick soul. And the Holy Ghost moved inside me. Church, hallelujah, for the glory of the Lord. Well, we see in the book of Luke, chapter 24, more about his glory. We realize that he was crucified willingly, voluntarily. And they buried him there. He died for our sins. And They put him inside the tomb. And on the third day, on the first day of the week, he got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. There was two a-walking down the Emmaus Road, and they were sad. Their disposition was brokenness. They were not encouraged a bit. Listen to them as they talk with the pooch lip and sadness and sorrow afflicting them. They did not know yet that Jesus was alive, and they were so sorry that their Lord and Master had been crucified and had died. And Jesus joins them walking on the Emmaus Road. Verse 24, and they said, as certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. In other words, we have heard about the resurrection, but we don't much believe it. Boy, if you don't believe the resurrection of Jesus, it is a sad affair. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? After his resurrection, he has a glorified body. Hallelujah. That is worked out by the glory of God. It is likened unto a body one day, which when you and I get to heaven, we'll have a new body, amen. A glorified body, like our Savior Jesus Christ's body. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul begins to describe his ascension even, his earthly ministry, his heavenly ministry, and his ascension back into heaven in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That word does not mean received up into heaven. Listen, friend, he is there in the glory of God. It is a place of visible manifestation of light. He is there in the glory of God in his ascension. I say, church, in Luke 21, Jesus gave us these words in verse 27 about his return. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Guess what, church? When he comes back, he's coming in glory. Not just coming from heaven, but he's coming with great, visible, manifested glory. Hey, that's the reality of the glory of God. I want to say number two. There is a reaction to the glory of God. Do you see it in Luke chapter 2? Those shepherds have a reaction to the manifest glory of God. What is their reaction? The Bible says they were sore afraid. In the Greek, the words sore afraid say this, megaphobia. That means great fear. They had great fear. I watched y'all this morning as we sung. Brother Steve blew that trumpet on the last verse of the last chorus, and half the choir jumped, and many of you sitting out here jumped because you were surprised. Now, when they saw an angel, they were surprised. But you see, this megaphobia means to paralyze with fear. You know, this morning when he blew that trumpet, y'all jumped. That's not paralyzed. Paralyzed means you don't move. This morning you didn't have megaphobia. You just had phobia. Had a little fear, a little afraid. But it wasn't mega to the point of paralysis. These gentlemen are to the point of paralysis, not in seeing an angel. I will admit one night in my study that I laid on my face reading my Bible and preparing a few notes. God, the glory of God, I felt like began to show around me. God said, I want you to look up. I couldn't do it. I was so afraid in my own study that I couldn't even look up. No telling what I missed. But I was so afraid that I was just paralyzed and just kept looking down. I said, God, I'm not ready. I'm just not prepared. Lord, I'm so afraid. I could not look upon that. Have you ever felt like one of them places that was just so holy, you just couldn't move? I couldn't even look up. These fellows were just astonished. Not because an angel had appeared to him. And mind you, this angel has just come from the presence of God. It's not the angel that's got megaphobia on him. It's the glory of the Lord that's shown round about them. They knew they were sinners. They knew they were poor, wretched shepherds. And the glory of God came around them. The glory of God took them and surrounded them completely. And that caused them to become sore afraid. You see, it is the reaction of every man or woman when you come face to face with divine holiness. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. This is not meaning a train that runs on a railroad track. This is his glory. It filled the temple. He's got a vision of the throne of God. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried out unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Listen what Isaiah says. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. That's not that somebody put a candle out. That was the smoke, the Shekinah glory of God. It filled the house. When Isaiah came face to face with divine holiness, then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You see, I believe fear gripped and paralyzed Isaiah to death when he came face to face with divine holiness. You remember the night that the glory of God came to you and you fell under conviction? You couldn't hardly move, but you was afraid not to. You remember how the glory of the Lord has surrounded a few services that you've been in? Oh, do you know how blessed you were to be there? I don't want to have much part in them. I want to give him all the glory. I want to let him do the preaching. I want to let him do the singing. I just want to sit and hear from him, amen, when we get in a service like that. And I bless his holy name. Isaiah had the same reaction as the shepherds. He's mesmerized. We have the same reaction today. But it's not always been like that. I can take you back to the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 3. When God made Adam and Eve, they walked with God in the paradise called the Garden of Eden. They had fellowship and communion with the glory of God, did they not? They basked in the glory of God. They weren't afraid to go walking with him. They loved to be around him. But Adam disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, what did he do? He went and hid behind a bush. And God come walking again in the cool of the day, desiring to have fellowship, desiring to allow them to bask in his glory. When he said, "Adam, where art thou?" He said, "I'm afraid." And because of his sin, he hid himself. You see, men had rather have fellowship with darkness and change the truth of God into a lie that have fellowship with his glory. You know how people get afraid in services? Why? There's because they don't want to be around the glory of God. What was their reaction? Like a giant spotlight on a little ant. There they were that night when the angel of the Lord came. The righteousness of God, the holiness of God shined on them and exposed them for what they were. But he came with a message: "Fear not. Good tidings are declared to you. This day in the city of David, there is born to you Christ the Lord. He is a Savior." The shepherds when the angel departed, said, let us go and see this thing. They wanted to go and get in the glory of God. They wanted to go and see the glory of God. Hey, y'all, one day we're leaving here. Us poor old miserable shepherds that the glory of God has shined on. One day we're leaving out of here, amen. He's a coming to get us and take us home to be with him. Bless his holy name. Thirdly, and I'm done, in Luke 2:9. We've seen the reality, the glory of the Lord. We've seen their reaction. They were so afraid. Thirdly, we see a revelation. Sometimes I'm amazed at what the Bible says, and then there are times I'm amazed at what it does not say. It did not say, and they were so afraid and were consumed because they were sinners. No, the revelation is this, that Jesus Christ came to sinners to save them and show them his glory, that we might be united with him in heaven forever and ever and ever. Might I have you turn to another place in Exodus 33? This is very important. I'm almost done. I believe that these shepherds have had more fellowship than anybody else has had much. In Exodus 33 and verse number 17, Moses begins to request to see the glory of God. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 17, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. I want to ask you a question. Who is it beside God the Father? It's Jesus Christ. He said, there's a place beside me. You'll stand up on a rock. I'm glad he lifted me out of the miry pit, put my feet upon a solid rock, and establish my goings. That rock is Christ. Amen. So there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. What about that? We remember at Mount Sinai, he said, there's a boundary. If anybody touches this, you're going to die. We remember at the house of God, when the glory of God fell, the priest couldn't even go in because the glory of God was so great. But the revelation is this. To those poor, miserable shepherds, the glory of God that Moses could not see, the glory of God that the people could not touch, the glory of God that Moses was not allowed to see, and the people could not touch, and the priest could not enter into, that same glory fell round about the shepherds. I did not read where they were praying, oh God, would you show us your glory? They weren't praying. They weren't desiring anything. He just came to them because he loved them. He just came to them because he entrusted that they would go see the Christ child and they would bear the message. Hey friend, he came to you and me because he loves us. He came to you and me because he entrusts us that we'll go out and share the message that Jesus saves old, poor, wretched, miserable sinners. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. We're done. When Jesus took upon himself that flesh, he became our peace. He became our mediator. He became our way. And now that we've trusted him to save us, we come to the book of Revelation. We think about a place where you and I are going to live. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Chapter 21 and verse number 10. This is talking about our home. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I want to say, thanks be to God for showing us your glory and allowing us to see things that people have desired to see but never saw, and to hear things they desire to hear but never heard. And you've shown us this great mystery, and I bless your holy name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You bow your head with me this morning. I wonder if there's anybody just say, preacher, I just want to worship God today. He's allowed me to bask in his glory. Just a poor old wretched shepherd, just an old sinner, he allowed me to bask in his glory and save my soul. And he's allowed me to envision things and see things and experience things in my life that I am not worthy of the glory of God. Oh, I desire to have it fall in my life. I desire to have it fall in my home. I desire the glory of God in the church where I serve. I want God to have glory, but I want him to shine his glory down upon where we are. And this morning I want to give him glory. That's what I want to do. For one day we're on our way, where a place called heaven is filled with his glory.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
That concludes our Pulpit Hour message for today. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, you can call our studios at 828-884-9427. Or write to us at WGCR, 3232 Hendersonville Highway, Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, 28768. You can also hear today's message on our website at WGCR.net. The Pulpit Hour is brought to you by Anchor Broadcasting.